Well, what can I say? We all mess up. We get things wrong. And these are those things that we got wrong.
Things we got wrong. Episode Woo! 30. Here we are. How you feeling,
I've been
Sarah?
Waiting for this one. I'm so excited.
Oh, really?
I feel like this is, with everything that's going on in the world, this is a topic that must be discussed and revisited. And now I have even more personal experience to share on the subject. And it's great.
Okay.
I'm so excited we're talking about this again.
Yeah, we're talking about Brain Candy episode 64, which was on abortion.
Yes.
And that episode had a guest. So we have brought Jessica Semler back to the show. She was our expert on the subject.
Yes.
She like gave us credibility because we're just a bunch of jackasses over here. And so she's come back too. So that's super fun. Welcome, Jessica. I'm so glad we roped you in.
Thank you for having me back. Anytime that I can talk about abortion and reproductive rights, I'm there. So
I learned so much from you that episode. It was so great.
Thank you.
Yeah. That was really special. And it's not an easy thing to talk about because you kind of can't win. Everyone's always mad. First of all, Sarah, would you agree? I would not do this episode again. Like, I can't believe I did it in the first place.
Really?
And I didn't like listening back. I was like,
cringing
at myself. Yeah, because I didn't like... I didn't like that I basically said this. If you disagree with us, you might want to keep on walking. And because if you're gonna do an episode about abortion, what's the point of just preaching to the choir and basically announcing that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I hear you. I get it. Yeah. I think that what I think you were trying to stress is that we weren't going to be giving the other side a voice during this
we
episode, and that's okay. Yeah, we weren't going to be having a debate on it. We were going to be talking about the facts, talking about access, talking about what people who are in this position have to deal with and go through, and...
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't think it should have been a debate, but I guess I wish I had been more welcoming to an audience that would maybe be inclined to disagree and know that, like, we're not going to attack you or...
Yeah.
You know what
or
I mean?
Maybe they're here to get more facts or learn a little bit more. Maybe they have a friend who, you know, got an abortion and they want to know what more about it or how to support or something like that. So,
and a lot of folks who are, a lot of women that are pro-life or consider themselves pro-life, they also have abortions. All of these people are having abortions as well. And they deserve support and care too. So,
yeah, that's a good point that people are unreliable narrators and also inconsistent in their beliefs and then their actions. We all do that. So that's a good point and something to remember. Jesse, whenever we started, your name's Jessica, but I call you Jesse. Whenever we started Things We Got Wrong, you reached out and were like, if you ever get to my episode, I have some things I want to say, which I was delighted. That's such a cool thing for you to even do. But when I listened back, I didn't see anything that was like needed correcting. What made you think that?
So it's really funny. My memory is impressively bad. So when I told you that 2 years ago, gosh, I don't even know. I remembered the broad strokes. And I think what I remembered most was that we talked about Planned Parenthood, where I worked at the time. And I no longer work there, so I'm a free agent. I can say whatever I want. So, kind of talked about like how to engage with folks who are maybe anti-choice. And I think that's really, really important. And then there are some things that I've really changed the way I've done things. Like since I talked with y'all last, I did lobbying for a couple of years, specifically around abortion advocacy. I went to legislators with folks who had experiences with doctors who've had to deal with these horrible situations and talked to people who weren't inclined to believe them, would listen and still vote for these atrocious laws, even knowing the pain that they cause people. And my brain kind of broke the day that Roe v. Wade was overturned because I was so fucking angry. And just realizing that so much of even the conversation that we have around abortion is we're coming from a place where we shouldn't be having, it's not a discussion that should be up for debate. I guess that's what I realized really is that I don't want to stigmatize abortion further by acting like, hey, what do you think? I don't think this is allowed. It's because it's like, this is a personal medical decision. I would never like ask someone, hey, so like, how do you feel about your colonoscopy? Because I have thoughts on you getting one. Which colonoscopies are 40 times safer than abortions, by the way, in the first trimester. So just a tidbit there.
Abortions are 40 times safer than colonoscopies.
Correct. Yes. Yes. And most abortions take place in the first trimester. So just a little nugget of fact. But yeah, I realized that a lot of what we were talking about in that way, for me, I've moved to a different place where I didn't even talk about this on the podcast. I've had an abortion. And I had an abortion when we talked last. I didn't feel comfortable sharing that. And I think storytelling is the most profoundly powerful tool that we have in this movement. And I think the secrecy and the shame and the stigma that surrounds abortion and has surrounded it for several like decades, I believe the environment that makes all of these laws possible and all of these discussions and all of these debates, it's this shame and stigma. One in four folks will have an abortion or have had one. That's a lot of people. And a lot of people can't talk about it or don't talk about it for completely obvious reasons. And I think empowering those folks and also approaching folks, anyone, every single person loves someone who's had an abortion. Everybody, no matter who you are, I promise, everybody. And my challenge to folks is you need to make sure that you in some way flare up that you're a safe person so that someone would feel comfortable talking with you. So.
Yeah. Okay. I go ahead, Sarah. I'm sorry.
No, we do. I think that's so important that, you know, since we've done this episode, I had a miscarriage that then resulted in me having to have a DNC. And I didn't even know what that was. I didn't even know. I was like, I had to Google it. Like, what is this thing? I'm like, this is so common. This is something that so many people have had to go through. And I had never heard of ever as a woman in her 30s. And then I was just talking to Susie before we started it. It is sickening and terrifying to think that if I lived in another state, I now wouldn't be able to get that very medically necessary procedure done. And how even the time from when I found out that I miscarried to when I was actually able to have the procedure done, that was so psychologically traumatizing to feel like I was, well, to put it bluntly, I said like a human coffin. And that was like so fucked up on my mind. And to think that there are women who wouldn't have that access and would just have to live with that or would have to deal with anything that could possibly happen to their body when they don't get that procedure. It's like, it's insane and very terrifying.
It's really wild. And what I think is interesting about that is I believe anyone should be able to have an abortion anytime for any reason. However, what's so interesting is that the rule that you're talking about when we talk about these different limitations that are supposedly based in caring for life, whether it's mom's life or the baby's life, those are the most insidiously disgusting and offensive to me. Sarah, I'm so sorry you had that experience. And what's happening, we've seen it happen in Texas. We're seeing it in other states. Even here, I'm in Pennsylvania. And the rule for, we talk about, oh, well, in the case of the health of the mother, then things will be okay. Then, you know, then a doctor can do whatever. Now, I'm not sure if folks know, but these bills that are passed are not written by people who know what the fuck they're talking about at all. So yeah. These people write these bills that, frankly, honestly, if you gave them like a map and a compass, couldn't find the clitoris if you were fucking, you know, whatever. And yeah. They're making these rules that aren't actually based in medical knowledge anyways. And so I have friends that are abortion providers and I ask them, when you see this, what does this mean to you? And it's so terrifying that doctors are actually in a position when they're providing care and they have to actually think, at what point do I have to stop this? At what point do I have to step back? And that's just so shameful and disgusting that we're putting that on doctors. A lot of the laws occur in different states that have a quote-unquote exception for the life of the mother. The criteria is so high that you could lose your uterus, and this doesn't count. Yeah. It's not extreme enough. You're not close enough to death. The profound disrespect.
This feels like it goes against the first do no harm thing.
Exactly. 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 And a lot of these laws, they are made to, you know, make doctors question themselves on their expertise and also sully the relationship, the patient-doctor relationship, which as a patient, you should completely trust the doctor who's helping you through the situation. And a lot of these laws that are now in place also kind of wedge a divide between the patient doctor relationship. The other thing I should note too is just Roe v. Wade is overturned. Even before then, most of these, a lot of abortion laws were really, really restrictive. And even Roe v. Wade, I guess I was devastated. I was angry really angry because of what that really said. It's 2018 and my niece has less rights than I do. That's profound. But what I want folks to think about and keep in mind is that Roe v. Wade was the floor, like the bottom of the floor, which is why so many horrible abortion bans across the country were able to be passed, because Roe v. Wade was kind of like a compromise from the start. Mm-hmm. And what we really, really need to talk about is like access. And basically, people who aren't doctors should have no business at all interfering in people's medical decisions whatsoever. That's like the biggest thing. And whether or not, like I said before, whether you consider yourself pro-life, anti-choice, pro-choice, everyone has an abortion. And even with the way folks have talked about abortion, folks in, I think we're all on the same side here, but there are folks who say things like, I would never have an abortion, but I'm very pro-choice. That's actually really hurtful and not cool. I just think it should be
still
really
that shame.
Lighter. Right. It's adding this moral qualifier and it's a very personal decision that no one else, it's kind of like, it really irritates me when we hear from politicians, and I'll say specifically Democratic men who are elected officials, who say things like, well, I'm personally against abortion, but I think we should keep this, you know, keep it between a woman and her doctor. You're never going to be personally pregnant. So why the fuck does that matter? Mm-hmm. So I think things like that really, they add stigma And also people need to start using the word abortion. Like people are campaigning right now.
Yeah.
And if I have to hear one more man say a woman's right to choose, like I am going to write my hair up.
Oh, yeah. Call it what it is. Just say the word.
We can't say the word. Yeah. Why are we surprised when people are uncomfortable talking about it? So
whenever you talk, obviously you're so passionate and this is so important. And I think to you, this feels so obvious. And that's part of what makes it frustrating is that you think it's a no-brainer. And then there's these people on this other side that think their position is a no-brainer. Like, mm-hmm. how do you reconcile that? Or like, it seems impossible that
right.
people could be so certain and have completely different thoughts on it.
Yeah, I guess the big difference, I think, is that the idea that this is a back and forth, I don't think that that's working. Mm-hmm. And I guess in terms of folks that sincerely believe, I guess if you sincerely believe that abortion is wrong, don't have an abortion.
Don't have an abortion.
And I think that's right. the biggest thing is that we are talking about whether you have your personal beliefs or from your religion or from, mm-hmm. from some other ethical standpoint that you think you have, like, and that's fine. No one should be subject to have to have an abortion or carry a pregnancy, like neither of these things, right? And so I guess like the big, big difference is folks who have my view, I'm not trying to stop anyone else from what they're doing with their body or access to safe care. That's the big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One is trying to stop people from access. The other one is saying, you do you.
There's really no way to have an appropriate segue from
right.
our topic to a sponsor, but
well, I mean, maybe it's something that I'm passionate about because I am passionate about eating these meals.
Yes. So Factor meals. Okay. Basically the scoop is you have like the ones you cook like HelloFresh and Green Chef. And then if you do not feel like doing that,
yeah, I mean doing nothing. You want to just microwave it 2 minutes? This is such good food. I got it, my box, while I was just coming out of my surgery, and I was like, I'm not cooking anything, even microwave, like even assembling things was too hard for me. I needed something I could put in the microwave, and I'm done. I had low expectations for what this was going to taste like because mm-hmm. I was like, microwave meals are never good.
Yeah.
Holy crap. I had a mushroom chicken with green peas on the side or green beans on the mm-hmm. side that tasted like you could have plated that and I would have thought it came from any steakhouse.
Yeah, that's what it said. It's like restaurant quality food.
It is
in
restaurant
2 minutes.
Quality.
Yeah.
It's so freaking good. It's so fast. Any night that I'm in charge of cooking, I'm just doing this.
Yeah, and it's great. Like, I gave some to my mom because she's just by herself and she doesn't want to cook a whole meal. This is perfect for her. She loves them. Yeah. So, if you are like in that mode where you need some stuff, you're just available when you're done work or whatever, so good. Head to factormeals.com/braincandy50 and use code braincandy50 to get 50% off. That's code braincandy50 at factormeals.com/braincandy50 to get 50% off. It felt funny listening to it whenever you were encouraging people to vote and you were emphasizing the importance because at that time it was Hillary Clinton versus Trump. And you were saying there's a lot at stake here and you listed things that were at stake and you really did name like worst case scenario. Like if Trump were elected, he might have the opportunity to install 3 Supreme Court justices. There was all these things that you listed. And I'm like, is she Nostradamus? What is happening? Here's the clip from the original show.
This election is really about access. And from every single level, we need folks like from the president to Senate to Congress, local elections, all of these have great effects. And even when we do talk about like the presidential election, we're not just talking about 4 to 8 years. We're talking about possibly decades because the next president could potentially choose up to 3 seats on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And I personally don't want that person to be the guy that said that women who have abortions should be punished.
This is like all come to be. It was prophetic. And people had always said that there's a lot at stake. So why do you think it is, looking back, that the left or whatever didn't try to codify Roe, the Congress, so that Supreme Court wouldn't have that opportunity as easily?
All right. My response to that...
I mean, you don't have to answer. Like, oh, no. That's a weird question.
No, it's... I think it's a very good question. And I should also, in terms of like my professional background, I'm an elected official in the borough where I live. I was president of my county, Young Democratic Party. Like I am here to help out the people.
I'm not blaming you. You're doing the work. You're doing the work.
I say all that because what I found so frustrating the day, you know, Roe was overturned, I've never gotten so many damn fundraising texts from Democrats. And right. I felt that was so frustrating because with both conservatives and liberals or progressives, abortion is treated like this by this wedge issue for conservatives and this like something to fundraise off and use as a scare tactic. And I don't know why they didn't do that exactly, but there's no reason why abortion shouldn't be talking about the most common types of abortions are medical abortions. They're just like some pills. And these have been legal in Europe for almost 40 years. Here, only like 24 or so because we are because we're the U.S. and we're more conservative than other places. No exaggeration, medicational abortions safer than a Tylenol. And right, yeah. And so what's so wild to me is that it's not even just talking about Roe v. Wade. It's like, how come an average person can't go to just their gynecologist and get medical abortion and get a medical abortion? There's literally no reason why not. It's bizarre. And so it's like, it's so cooked into the infrastructure already that I think a lot of things, and maybe that's part of why I'm talking like a, this is a no-brainer, because I'm so frustrated from like looking at this from all different angles to think, wow, I didn't even consider how baked in this is that we're even, that we don't even talk about that the safe procedure, you can't even go to your regular doctor's office and get this. There's no reason why. And it's so frustrating. And it just, I guess, comes back to like, we people with uteruses are not trusted to make our own decisions. And I also think, I think it was Texas, but I might be wrong. But, you know, there are these laws now that have, you know, folks are going to the hospital for miscarriages and they're being accused of being murderers. Like people are going to jail for that. And then this happened, I want to say Texas, but as it turns out, a man was drugging his partner, his pregnant partner's like drinks unknowingly. He got like 180 days, babe. So it's like, you care. And so I think it's important too, because it's like, this is, why are we really doing this? Because we say it's about children. We say it's about babies and protecting, but that's not, that is horrible and tragic. That woman lost a pregnancy that she wanted. That is horrible and monstrous. And this man, it's not a big problem though. I think too, just, we talked about this a little bit before, but for folks who are against abortion access, if you are not for fully funding medical care, daycare, education, everything, just stop.
Can it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It just doesn't add up. That's always been true, where the inconsistency of that is pretty obvious.
Sarah, I think you actually said pro-birth. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not pro-life, pro-birth.
Okay, well,
it feels like a slippery slope now, too, that now so many other laws and things are being
IVF fertilized eggs.
Yeah. Can we talk about that?
Frozen embryos. That is, I mean, it, you might not even get access to IVF.
Right. Really terrifying. And I really hope folks, they hop on that HOV lane with their eggs in the, you know, the cooler.
Yeah.
Social security numbers and claim them as dependent on their taxes, all of those things. Because this is, if this is what, you know, we're saying, then.
You want to go this way? Let's play.
Yes.
Well, so the, what you're referring to is the ruling in Alabama that, that concluded that these, what the heck, embryos, whatever.
Yeah, frozen embryos.
Are human babies.
Right.
And, the consequence of that is that a lot of these fertility clinics are closing. Why? Explain why that follows that. Because people would potentially be punished if they were to discard unused embryos.
Right. Which I most of my knowledge about this specifically is like a layperson's knowledge, but
yeah.
Over a decade ago, I donated my eggs.
I know. So this I'm so glad you mentioned it because I didn't want to put you on the spot, but this is the most fascinating thing because I don't think people, like conservatives, would imagine that the same person that got an abortion would also do what you did. So share what you did because it's so cool.
Sure. Actually, it happened within the same year. I signed up to be an egg donor in my like right outside of college because there was a woman that I worked with who she wanted nothing more than to be a mother. And she couldn't be, and it's very expensive to adopt. Mm-hmm. It's very expensive to have a surrogate, like, and it just really broke my heart. And so, I signed up on some website to just be an egg donor. Cause I figured I'm sure, you know, somewhere around the country, there's like a reasonably good looking gal that looks like me that can't have kids. And I would love to help her out.
You know what I mean? You created an idea of who it was.
Yeah. Just, you know, and it was like a very intense process, but, and I'm so grateful that I did it because especially the year after, I had an abortion, for me, I know now, I thought then, and I know now, I don't want to have children myself. I love the idea of giving someone else that opportunity to make their family. And so, I had the procedure done, and they collected 34 eggs, which is a very decent amount.
Yeah. I'll say that's a lot over there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I remember coming out from the anesthesia and I'm like, how many? And they're like, that. And I am a fertility goddess. Yes. It's like,
okay. It's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
But what was wonderful about that situation was that, and I don't know anything about the couple who chose me. And one of the questions that I was asked was like, well, what if one day a child like shows up on your doorstep? It's like, honestly, reverse Google image. It's totally fine. Your parents are the folks who raised you. And you know what I mean? Like, it's fine. Like, you're welcome for this DNA, I guess.
I mean, that is a beautiful gift.
It really is.
To give.
It felt so absolutely wonderful for me to know that I didn't want to have children, but that I would help somebody else. And 34 eggs, the reason why you go on all of these medications to like over ovulate is because they need as many eggs as they can, because not every, again, not a lay, I'm a lay person, but not every time that there's a fertilized egg or embryo, it doesn't necessarily implant in the carrier or the mother's, you know, body.
Yeah, those things are fickle. Yeah.
So, and my understanding from what they told me was that it could take like, 34 eggs, that's like several chances, but like usually it's like maybe five to get like a good try or something like that. And so basically, and what I really loved was that with how much they got, theoretically, they could have a family. Like they could have
it's
multiple
so nice.
Kids. And I love that. And I don't think about the situation very often. If someone comes up to my door, I will happily talk to them. Hey, what's up? But when I've heard about this, what happened in Alabama, for a moment I thought, am I liable for any of those eggs that weren't, like, am I going to be arrested for maternal abandonment? Like, this is what we're talking about. It's bananas. So,
would you have potentially not done it if you had to consider those ethical questions or just life concerns that you will be arrested for maternal neglect, for Pete's sake?
So I think you have to go through a lot of wild psychological testing to donate, and they ask very specific scenarios. And I feel like this scenario, one, I wouldn't have anticipated it being like, that's so far off. Mm-hmm. I can't begin to be concerned about it. Like one of the things, this is kind of going in another direction, but well, what if you donate your eggs? And then in a few years, you have children. And then in a few years, your child meets your child, but they don't know their child, and then they get together. I'm like, I can't pretend that this is something I'm going to, I can't, I'm not giving brain space to that, no. But, like, I wouldn't have considered that at all.
Right.
It is really, really wild that now it's something to consider.
Yeah,
half and of those eggs, embryos are lost in the defrost, like moving it from, they need extra because it's just like a given. It's written in there like, yeah, we're probably going to lose about a third of them in like this process, moving them from, you know, the freezer to wherever. And yeah, if every time you lost one, it meant manslaughter, people aren't going to be doing that.
Mm-hmm. And specifically for folks who are doing IVF, these are wanted children.
Yes.
These are people
like
who
want them so
want
bad.
Parents. And so it's just, you know, one of the, I mean, I hope, I would like to think unintended consequences of these situations. But that's the reality. And like we were talking about earlier, even so many things that have nothing to do with abortion, but because of the rules now, like if you are having an issue with your pregnancy, and you need care, it's like suddenly this is actually a thing you might have to think about.
Right.
I absolutely now, if I were considering having kids, I don't think I could do that right now with how things are, because I don't think it's a guarantee that I would be safe or that anyone would be safe. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really scary. And it breaks my heart.
Yeah, even just going on vacation to a state where if you were pregnant, where the rules are different, God forbid there's an emergency, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, and a lot of, it's funny, Pittsburgh is considered one of like the top five hubs in the U.S. for abortion. We were pretty hopping before that, but with all of these different laws, you know, around like in states around us, there's so much more traffic at clinics now because people from other states are needing care. And it's really scary because I think like we might have discussed before, Pennsylvania, we are a hostile state when it comes to abortion rights and access still. We're considered like a sanctuary for abortion, which like this is hilarious because we don't actually have it very good here. Like there's a 24-hour waiting period.
It's a low bar, right?
Very low bar. And if you think a lot of people who have abortions, they already have children. So if they're in this position where they have to travel, it's like, okay, you need childcare, you need transportation. Right. Where are you going to stay? Also, you can't work during this time. So it's all of these obstacles that you might not think about, but in practice, they really impact specifically people that are already financially struggling. It's very sad.
It's terrible. In Colorado, there are all these signs if you leave the state, like coming into the state from any other state around here, there are signs that say, "We know you're going to Colorado to get an abortion. We see you." It's like stuff like that. Like that direct.
Terrifying.
Isn't that terrifying? You're on the road and you just pass billboards that
Who's
say like, "Turn around now. We know where you're going." Like, guess.
Well, but like, is there a certain organization or like, does it say?
I
mean,
I can't remember off the top of my head, but guarantee it's like some evangelical organization.
That's what I don't get. Is it? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, just a lot of bills that have cropped up have been like, okay, yes, if you drive someone across a state, then you are an accessory to a crime.
Right.
So it's, yeah.
I've never understood the approach of like, even if you were pro-life or anti-choice or whatever, I've never understood the tactic of like bullying and like that kind of, because you'd have to believe that these people would prefer not to be in a situation where they would be getting an abortion. It's not like everyone's psyched out of their mind to get one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the shaming. It's adding the shame.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
We're going to shame you and make you feel like this is the consequence of your bad decision, which was
like you're a
sex.
Harlot.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So something that this made me think of was, I don't know if y'all have read Britney Spears' book, The Woman in Me.
I have not.
Not yet.
Oh my gosh. Y'all have to read it like now.
She's a okay.
We do. We do.
All right. So Britney Spears, I was the perfect age for all of that, really. I can name where I was when she marched across that VMA stage with Banana the Snake, like iconic.
Banana.
And then before her book came out, the week prior, it came out that one of the things she would be discussing is that she had an abortion from when she was with Justin Timberlake, and that mm-hmm. would be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I thought, this is my Roman Empire. We have Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, top of the 2000s,
abortion.
Yeah, it's like, this is everything. And so I was really looking forward to like, wow, like it is a big deal when Britney Spears shares her experience. And with what you were saying about people not wanting to be in the situation to begin with, mm-hmm. that's so key. And I interviewed one of my friends for it, who's a provider. And I have it in front of me because I didn't want to forget.
Sure.
But basically, Britney didn't have the best experience. She didn't want to have an abortion. She had to have it at home. She wouldn't have wanted to do that. But Justin Timberlake didn't want to be a father. And basically, Britney and Justin, the pop stars, were completely just held above Britney, the person. And so that's a heartbreaking story.
I didn't know that. So she felt like she had to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Oh.
And if she would have continued, she would have had to have done so alone without a partner, and he would have taken her ability away to raise the baby she would have wanted, how she would have wanted to. And I was talking with my friend who's a doctor about this, and I said, what do you think from after listening to Britney's experience? And she's like, honestly, her story is unremarkable. It's so common, like for mm-hmm. patients that are generous enough with her to share their stories, their circumstances are such that they can't continue their pregnancy. It's not all good. It's not all bad. It's very complex. But the circumstances are not there where they can continue their pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, no one would prefer to be in that situation, but it happens. Even in a perfect world, there would still be abortions because unplanned pregnancies happen.
Yes,
half of pregnancies are unplanned. But yeah, I think it was, over the moon that Britney talked about it. And not with flowery language. She talked about how she had a bad experience, and I thought it was so valuable. She didn't have to share that story. But the fact that Britney Spears shared that story, mm-hmm. people are feeling seen that didn't feel seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant a whole lot to me.
Aw, that's so nice.
Yeah.
We need
more language around it and make and normalize it and hear different people's stories so it doesn't feel like these women who are just using it as a form of birth control, like some people
Which,
may
like,
believe.
Real expensive birth control, like wowzers,
right.
guys. That would be bananas. Oh, but yeah, too. I think the other part is that when we talk about like the other side too, We are the majority. Like, over 80% of Americans believe there should be access to safe abortion. Like, that's a huge amount. It's a very, very, very vocal minority. But I think part of it, too, is to make sure that when we talk about it, to acknowledge that this actually is not as black and white as I think a lot of, like, media stories would show. One thing that I remember specifically, in 2016, there was a Supreme Court case, I think right before I saw you guys, about undue burdens. And I was in D.C. on the Supreme Court steps for that event. And there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people that were there, thousands. And almost all of them were there to for abortion access. There was a small group, a couple hundred people, a small group of folks who were against abortion, and they were there. And we had even kind of enveloped them, just there were so many people. And then, like, you look at the cover of the New York Times, and it was like half here, half here. It's like, that's... Uh-huh. That's actually not representative. And I think that's right. Also contributes to, I think a lot of folks who have had abortions, of which, like we said, like one in four folks with a uterus will have an abortion. And so many people, they keep that to themselves because it's like, if you don't know how your family or your friends or your partner will react, once you tell them that, you can't take it back. Mm-hmm. And I think if this were just a more open discussion, folks would feel more comfortable sharing their personal stories because it wouldn't be seen as this shameful thing that is so high in debate that people are all up in arms about. It's like most people believe folks should have access to safe abortion.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do have abortions. And like I said, everyone loves someone who's had an abortion.
All right. Well, I know something I do love, and that is smelling good. And now
definitely.
We do, thanks to Lumi Deodorant.
Lumi Deodorant, proud sponsor of my whole recovery process because I was taking very few showers, and I was just rubbing Lumi all over, and it did the job.
Sarah's lathering herself. Well, it's easy to do because they have the whole body cream that you can use. Yes. You know, or you could get the stick, like a normal deodorant style.
And they have the wipes, which were really great. When I was not in, I use these when I go camping. I use these when I'm on an airplane. And I also use these when I don't get out of bed for 4 weeks and need to wipe the pits and or anywhere else. And
it's just great to have on hand.
So great. And stuff that doesn't just cover up the scent like some do. This actually has these little, I get microbacteria like eating things that just go in there and chomp, 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 eat away at the stinky stuff. And developed by an OBGYN, so it's safe on all your parts.
Ain't that the truth? As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code WRONG at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code WRONG. What do you think the end game is here? Like, where are we headed? Because for most of my life, when Roe v. Wade was valid, conservatives would say, we believe that it should be up to the states, right? They wanted it to each state to decide. That was what the talking point was. Mm-hmm. Then now that the court basically said that, they're talking about wanting a federal ban, right? So that, and then it's not about states' rights anymore. Now it's like actually just to eradicate this practice. So I just am curious what you think is their ideal end game and then what you think may actually happen or I don't know.
What is the end game?
You're very good at predicting things, so.
Yeah, you are.
I mean, I sincerely hope not because I continue to have kind of like a negative perception of what the future will be. So hopefully not. But I do think that's interesting. When I honestly didn't think in a lot of ways that conservatives truly wanted Roe v. Wade to be overturned because that was like their chip.
It was the mobilizer.
Right. So it's like what happens? It's like the car, the dog that chases the car, whatever. So it's like, well, what's going to happen now? And what's happening is that as far as it will go with like what we're seeing now, with abortion, with IVF, with privacy. This is going to keep on going. They're going to try to take away birth control. They're going to, I'm not even gay marriage, all of these things, because when Roe v. Wade was overturned, part of what they overturned was around the, the right to privacy. And a lot of Supreme Court decisions, landmark decisions that we hold dear, that allow folks to marry who they want, whether that's gender or race, all of that goes away. So really, there is so much more on the table. And I don't want to be the Cassandra that's saying, I mean, but I don't think I actually am, because if we're looking around, we're seeing all of this happening. We're also seeing the influx, hundreds and hundreds of anti-trans bills, anti-LGBT bills, like banning books. It's we're not in a great place.
No.
And I don't think it's going to get better, honestly. And I'm really sorry to say that. But I do have something I would like to share with that in mind.
Okay.
So one of the things I used to say, and this is actually something that I regret saying too. So one of the talking lines, one of the talking points that I would have, and I have a tattoo of a hanger on my ankle. Okay. Great conversation starter. And what I would say when someone asked me, oh, what is that for? Do you like fashion? It's like, I do, but it's actually a reminder of what happens when women don't have access to safe abortions. And that was true in 1974. but the fact is now that's no longer the reality. Self-medicated abortion is very, very safe. Studies continue to come out to say that. Like I said, it's been legal in countries in Europe for like nearly 40 years. Mm-hmm. And because of all the shutdowns of clinics, like, you know, Planned Parenthood in Pittsburgh, before Roe v. Wade was overturned, before other states had different regulations, it was still difficult to make an appointment. Now, because now, but you're competing with all these other folks, so it's really difficult. And so in the last couple of months, I've talked to some people who were in Ohio, actually, and they asked, what do? I need to find an appointment. And it's terrible because I said, like, you need to actually, I would recommend calling everywhere, finding what appointment you can get, whatever the best one is, cancel the others. And that's probably your best bet. But there's actually something called Plan C, Plan C pills. So we have Plan B, which will only prevent a pregnancy if it hasn't happened yet. But Plan C is actually the medication abortion. And that's legal. You can actually order it online, anybody. To be honest, I'm going to give a very specific example, but one of my friends, her niece is in Ohio. Her niece is 17. So she was asking me, what do we do? She can't tell her parents. She can't do anything. And I said, well, let's look at this. For both Ohio and Pennsylvania, we also have, there is a rule that if you're under 18, you have to have a judicial bypass. And so what that means is that you have to go in front of a court, and a judge can decide that you're not mature enough to make a decision to have an abortion, but you are mature enough to be a parent.
Yeah, so, to have the baby.
I can't believe that.
And so talking to my friend, it's like, well, what options does this young woman have? And we can't get her to a clinic. That's off the table. But with Plan C pills, she was able to get a medical abortion. And we were able to talk about it and give her all the resources and have her be prepared and ready for when it happened and what to expect. And I think having folks know that Plan C is available. In fact, if anyone wants to stock up, to have some on hand for their girlfriends or whatever, depending on where you are, I think that's really, really important, because regardless of what the laws are, people need abortions. Yeah. And I also think something that I've thought about is that whether something is legal or not isn't the measure of whether it's right or not. Slavery was legal, right? A lot of discrimination was legal. And even in places where abortion is not legal, like, I will aid and abet abortion. Like, you know what I mean? Not legal. It's not wrong. it's still a medical, like a medically necessary thing that happens. And so I also just the framing of that, because it's like, wow, we have so much like weight on, well, this is legal, the Roe v. Wade. It's like, well, it's kind of like how we were saying the conservatives for so long, they were saying, well, this is just a state rights thing. Then suddenly the opportunity to have it everywhere. It's like, oh, well, we should seize on that. Well, predicating a lot of the argument for why, you know, abortion access is important to say that it's a legal right. It's like, well, that's gone now. That's gone. We can't rely on that because the people who are making the laws don't care. So.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Do you meet a lot of people, and I know we need to wrap up because I've kept you too long, but do you meet a lot of people who are anti-choice? And if so, do you engage in conversation? Because I know you're saying that something that maybe was a mistake of the left was indulging and acting as if it was worthy of debate, right?
So, yes, I do. And I think I'm in a unique position, and the reason why I talk about my abortion story so openly is that I have a real insulated support system. I worked at Planned Parenthood. I am in my circles, my political circles. Like I don't feel at risk for being shamed, and I have been shamed, and I've been called, and I've continued to be called horrible things by some folks. But for me, it's more important to share my story, to have other folks see that. And then I feel affirmed when randomly I have someone on Instagram message me and say, you know, I need an abortion. What do I do? It's like, well, this is why I'm the obnoxious shout from the rooftops lady, because it's really important. But what I think is so interesting is that when I have talked to anti-choice folks, and it's like folks on Twitter, not engaging with them, but like one-on-one, I have had discussions with people, and what I find so often, and this is the same with pro-life folks who have abortions, is that in their situation, it's like, oh, well, having heard your story, I understand now, or it's okay, I get it now. And it's like they understand if it's a person, and they hear their specific reasons. It's like, well, these were extenuating circumstances, not considering everyone's circumstances are extenuating. Everyone. And so I think one of my, I'm sorry, I'll be really quick about this, but when I had my abortion, which was in 2014, January 5th was my abortionversary. a few months later, and this was when I wasn't telling people, I had a good friend who was very religious, but she was one of my good friends. And from everything else I saw, I thought that, you know, she would be understanding. I shared this and it was really horrible. Like, we lost our friendship. It was really, really ugly 24 hours of just a barrage of things that were said to me about my decision. And it was really heartbreaking. Two things. Right after that, the next day at work, I was crying in the break room, just really bummed out and upset because this is my friend who's saying these horrible things to me.
Yeah.
And I knew I made the right choice, but to have someone judge and put all of this stuff on me, it's like, wow, this was someone who, like, you know, I was there when her baby was born. You know what I mean? And I was in the break room and this older woman came in and was like, why are you crying? And I happened to be feeling vulnerable. So I was like, oh, my friend just shamed me for having an abortion. This woman poured her coffee and just completely chill. You know, I had an abortion when I was in my 20s. And if I hadn't, I wouldn't have my two kids now. Walked out of the room. And it gave me such a gift that she was like, one, matter of fact, mm-hmm. and also like, yes, her life, she has two kids now. She was, right. when she was in the position, and if she hadn't had that abortion, she wouldn't have those children.
Right.
And then fast forward to 2019, I ran into that woman who shamed me at Aldi, my ex-friend. Yeah, totally wild. And like we saw each other and my knee jerk reaction was like, oh, hello. And you know, you move it along.
Yeah.
And she came up to me like a few minutes later and she said, like, I really need to talk to you. And I said, she's like, I'm really, really sorry for the way I treated you years ago. I was wrong. Wow. And then she talked about, yeah, she was wrong. She talked about, you know, she was not in the right church and she realized that, you know, God's plan does include abortion sometimes, and that she just felt really bad that we lost our friendship over that. And I mean, that was like the most ridiculous thing to happen. Like, that doesn't even sound real.
Right.
And that was so, so affirming to me. And it also gave me some insight into, again, why folks who are really insulated in these anti-choice spaces, it's like, my goodness. I understand why there's all that shame when you're being told if you do this, you're a horrible person.
Yeah.
And those people are there in church and they still have to, they're still dealing with that. And, you know, we need to meet people where they are as people in their human condition and, have empathy. No one knows what someone else is going through and no one else knows their reasons and they shouldn't have to. But yeah, I thought it was really, really awesome that just the more I talk about abortion, the more folks have come to me and vice versa.
Yeah.
And it's like, this shouldn't be something someone carries around. Mm. It's a shame that we have it that way, that folks have to keep this a secret.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful that my partner is awesome and that my friends are wonderful and you know what I mean? And
yeah. And you have that support and that scaffolding structure around you that some people don't have too, and that makes it a lot harder, I'm sure, for them to navigate it.
So if anyone needs to talk or has questions about abortion, find me on Instagram.
Not for that. So nice.
Can't answer a lot of medical stuff, but like it's truly like I feel like part of the reason why I was put on this earth was to reduce abortion stigma. And if anyone needs to feel less alone and talk about their experience, I'm happy to be that person.
Jessica, that is so you're nice. So wonderful.
Thank you.
Knowledgeable, yeah. Kind, open.
Walk in the
we
walk.
We need more people like you in government.
Yeah, on earth, you. Just everywhere.
I hope I didn't go too far off the rails from, you know, what the...
That's no, what we specialize in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rails, what rails?
Yeah. I really appreciate you coming on Brain Candy, and I appreciate you coming back on Things We Got Wrong. Because, my gosh... a lot has happened in those 8 years, and it's not easy being a woman. It never has been. It's not easy being a person with a uterus.
Amen.
So I appreciate
or a person without one, as one without one.
Or no. Yes, yeah, she had hers removed. She had her hysteria removed, and it's a lot, and it's complicated, and
yeah,
I think you're creating a very safe space, which is so nice and helpful. She is useful, you know, like Arnold says.
Yes. So useful.
You're so useful. And we so appreciate you talking to us. It's not easy. And you're so courageous, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing.
Yeah, you said it. Well, thank you so much. You're off the hook. We love you. And you helped it because we didn't have to say as many things that we got wrong. Usually it's a whole long list, but we let you take the lead.
The entire nation got stuff wrong. So,
yeah. I mean, and you know
we
what?
Were speaking it'll be for fun everybody.
In a few years, but like what we were wrong about right now. And there'll
I know,
be more
yes.
things.
The mail keeps coming.